Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio. Kiss my grits, baby.
Welcome to today's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're looking at Fallout 76 and other games. So I've been playing Fallout 76. I finally downloaded it.
Congratulations. All right. So last week, we was 3 days?
Three days it took to download.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me remind you, this is not something I was going to talk about. Let me remind you. I played it for a day, and then there was another 15 gig update that I had to download. I played it for a day, and I was like, wow. And then I stopped playing it, then it came back in. I was like, I'll jump back in tonight, get a good review. And then it was like, update. I'm like, what? How big? 15 gig. Had to wait another day.
It was also good. I've seen you play this once.
Yeah.
And there was one point where there was a countdown clock in the corner, and you're like, I was like, what's that? You're like, I don't know. And I was like, wait, it's saying they're going to turn the servers off in 12 minutes to update the game. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. And then
Look, to be perfectly frank, that's just a common thing for any online
yeah.
game. Like, I know the same thing happened when I was playing World of Warcraft.
It's rough for it to happen week. Still, so recently after.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I suspect when that happened that I had... So I was just using a fire axe as my weapon, but I was killing everyone in one hit. So I just suspect I had just... I
found a glitch?
Yeah, or something.
The perfect fire axe.
Far out. It was very funny. So yes, I finally downloaded it, jumped in, and well, okay, maybe this is a surprise to someone, but it's not a good game. But what? I knew that was going to happen.
Excuse me, Jackson, while I lie down, as I am too shocked to continue.
I did not want to play this game.
I did not.
And then, now that I have played this game, I am sad. So the basic plot is you make a character. Character creation as in-depth as Fallout 4. You.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, same.
You would think it would be less, but it's not, but it's meaningless. So then you wake up in a vault.
Yep.
The vault is empty.
Oh, cool.
You wander around. There are little tables that give you starting equipment and here's a gun. Here's how to shoot. Here's a stim pack. Here's how to heal, etc. Then you leave. You get an audio log, which you put into your little Pip Boy.
Yep.
And it's I'm the overseer. Find me. And that starts your quest, which consists of go to a place.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Find the log.
Uh huh.
Put in thing.
Yep.
Listen to a 2 minute to 3 minute audio Did you played Fallout 4 a bit, or you watched Adam?
I watched Adam. Fallout and even Skyrim, it's just the kind of game that is not for me. Yeah. I don't really like that style of RPG.
Mm.
And I'm realizing that style of game, it's just not one of my favorite style of games to play. I don't really like the first person
RPG.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know,
is it just the Bethesda?
I think it might be the Bethesda. Because I know there's there's a third person option. I'm like, it is, but it's very
janky. It's goofy looking.
And I don't like it.
Yeah.
I am all for top-down isometric RPGs. Those are my jam.
Yeah. Look, I can't stand them, but I loved Skyrim. And Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 3, a blast.
I think I'd love Fallout and Skyrim, because the Bethesda games I've played have been Wolfenstein and Doom. Two games that I adore. Mm. But yeah, they're too big. Yeah. I'm scared. I fear them.
I agree. Fallout definitely not for me. Skyrim I have played, and I played it a good chunk of it, but I think, it's just too big. And I hate the...
Frightens me.
I hate that certain options don't shut down other options.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest gripe with Skyrim.
It's the kind of thing I always find with like Skyrim or Fallout. Unless you're role playing and you're actually role playing, it's not fun. Like in Skyrim, I have to be like, if I'm an assassin, this character is not going to go and become a wizard because this character is an assassin.
Yeah.
So in Fallout 76, you don't choose a character. You're just a maniac wandering the wasteland looking for whatever. Like there are factions. I don't know how to find the different factions.
Cool.
The only faction that I have joined, I'm not sure if I have. I just know I've done a mission for them. I called the First Responders. And it's like the people, like the cops and the
paramedics
and stuff.
The First Responders.
It's real grisly because, the First Responders. But like, so who knows? It's Fallout. They could have been, I'm like, yeah, they wear these massive armor and all of them ride mutated horses or whatever. No, but so it's real grisly. So for the rewards for doing First Responder missions are First Responder costumes. It's weird to wear a dead cop's uniform. Like, what? That's weird.
No, that's good.
What's the equivalent of false valor but for First Responders?
I know. So imagine the world ends and you chuck on like a military uniform and you're like, wait, I was a soldier.
Wait, this is the plot of Postman, Kevin Costner classic. He just finds a postman uniform and becomes a postman.
This is the plot of Postman.
It's also why Ned Kelly got hung. Stole a dead cop's watch. And they were like, shouldn't have done that.
They were like, are you a cop? That's a dead cop's watch.
And killed that man, though. Lest we forget. Nope, that's not him. Such is life, is what he said. Not lest we forget.
So
wow.
So it gets very boring very quickly.
At what point in the description you just gave us of the starting of the game, where did you first hit boredom?
The moment I woke up. Because, so in every other Fallout game, you have... like, it kind of a little bit of an interesting hook as to who your character is.
Yep.
In Fallout 3, you flee your vault for the first time and you're a brand new person. You're trying to find your dad. Fallout New Vegas, which is just such a great game and such a like divergence from everything else, it's you're a courier who gets shot in the back of the head and then dug up and you didn't quite die and now you got to figure out who shot you in the back of the head. In Fallout 4, you were cryogenically frozen, and as you were cryogenically frozen, you saw people steal your baby and you got to find your baby. In Fallout 76, you wake up for no reason and leave. That is the plot.
Well,
who am I? I don't know. Why was I just asleep in the vault? I didn't wake up from a cryogenic chamber.
That's not role-playing because that's just your life.
That's just what I do every day.
Every day you wake up for some reason and then you leave your vault or garage, which is your bedroom.
And then I am out in the world and I go to places.
I like that cop's uniform. Yes.
So there are no NPCs.
What?
Perfect.
At
great
all.
For an RPG.
There are no... You Hang can't on. Talk to any... Other the closest thing they have to NPCs are robots, but they're not really interactive. You go up to them and they say something witty and then you go. The only way you get missions and stuff is from finding like terminals, and the only way you get lore about those missions is with audio logs. So what I was going to say is in Fallout 4 and Fallout whatever, audio logs will last maybe like 20 seconds.
Because
that's all you need. You need the like little susan of lore.
Wee wee.
But in Fallout 76, they last like 3 or 4 minutes. And if you stop listening, you have to go back to the start. And opening a menu or some things randomly will just cut it off. And in the worst part, it actually doesn't matter. Because you just get where you need to go on your minimap. And so you do that. The lore is just an annoying thing. Imagine playing Fallout, but someone's just yelling in your ear. That's what it's like.
Well, I don't mind long-ish audio logs. Look, that happens in Bioshock quite a lot. But again, that game is also 10 years old. So
yeah.
They have learned a lot.
There's also stuff going on.
Also, it's a single-player game.
Yeah.
So. Screaming at people.
The enemies that I've encountered so far.
Have you killed a guy yet? Like, as in...
Well... That's something I was going to talk about. So there are other people. Obviously, it is a MMO.
Yeah, massively
say,
multiplayer.
Is it an MMO? Do you level? I guess you do level.
You
up.
You do level up, and I'll get
massive
to that as well.
Massive multiplayer.
MMG, massive multiplayer garbage.
Massive multiplayer online role playing game. Morpork.
Yeah, it's a Morpork.
MMORPG. I forgot the RPG. Yeah.
So you can I have encountered other people. The moment I got into the game, I arrived in the first town it leads you to, and there was a guy who was on a workbench making something, and I went over and I was like, "What now?" Because the two things you can do are you can be like invite to join team.
Yep.
That's well, the one thing you can, or not invite to join team. Those are your options. I stabbed at him. Nothing happened because, and I'm not sure because the game never really tells you either. You, when you attack someone, if they attack you back, all of a sudden you can hurt each other, or you just reach a certain level and then you can be damaged by other players and you can damage other players. Before that, you just can't until you're like level 9, or it maybe it's the first way. Again, it never says.
Okay. So I was going to say one of those is sort of typical of sort of MMOs where it's like, you know, for the first, you know, 10 levels or whatever, while you get used to the game,
I suspect it's that, but I've also heard that it's the other one.
Ah.
Yes. And that is all you can do. You know, for a game that is like, hey, here we are. It's an online RPG with a whole bunch of other players. It's a Fallout game, so there should be like a heavy emphasis on role-playing. You can't. So that's incredibly frustrating. The guy at the workbench, I stabbed a couple times. He just ignored me.
Oh.
And then I left. And that was my encounter with NPCs. With not NPCs, with other players. My second encounter, my only ever other encounter, was walking in the woods and I was fighting ghouls and then a man in power armor fought ghouls and I left. So.
Okay.
It's really hard to tell how you're feeling about the game.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see the thumb score or anything else you'd like to talk about.
So, one of the greatest things about a Fallout game is that if you find an interesting location, there's probably going to be interesting loot, maybe an interesting enemy, or an interesting story. So, okay, Fallout 76, the Mothman Museum.
Ooh!
What do you imagine's going to be there?
A Mothman.
Ah, what is actually there?
I was going to say...
A cop outfit.
Is it like, hey, a museum about... the Mothman, so you can go in there and maybe read up about interesting lore of the Mothman, maybe the Mothman prophecies. Maybe you can read the Mothman prophecies in the game.
Can you watch the Mothman prophecies in this game?
Yes. Can you watch Richard
Gere?
Like Richard Grant? No, wrong. Richard Gere's classic, The Mothman Prophecies?
Alas, not.
They're garbage.
There is...
Not even on DVD.
There is basic loot. So like, oh, hey.
Is Richard Gere, does he voice one of the players that are not there?
I wish Richard Gere voiced... I know there is a Mothman in the game.
Mm-hmm. And is it voiced by Richard Gere?
I hope so. I hope he's like, I'm sorry, this game is garbage. Do you remember me in the Mothman prophecies? That's why I'm the Mothman. And then it gives you a little prompt to say yes by pressing X. So yeah, there's just nothing in the Mothman Museum. There's the coolest thing in the whole area is there's a little shrine to the Mothman, but there's nothing you can do there. There's no unique loot to it. The enemies in the area are the same enemies you find everywhere else. I walked into the Mothman Museum. I was like,
two cool. different things.
Cool. Well, because then I was like, oh, cool, there's a back door. Maybe that'll lead me to something cool. I unlocked it. Guess what was on the other side? Another locked door that I needed to be a level higher to get in.
I'm starting to suspect that this game is not very good.
That's some quality game right there. Perks are so leveling up. You do level.
Yeah. What is the illusion of leveling up? Is there one, or do you actually have to level up?
You do level up.
Oh, that's good.
Absolutely, but it's not like a normal RPG where you put your points into your various stats and Fallout. They could your special. Your, well, I forget what they are. It's not like that. It's more like every time you level up, you can put perks into different. Areas of your stats, but those perks are largely randomized, and I suspect in my game keep disappearing. So I was like, well, I gotta pick locks, I guess. All right, fine. I'll try to get every lock picking perk I can, bearing in mind that you just get a random selection of perks. So I'm basically like, I just hope I'll get a lock picking perk.
Okay, so there's no rhyme or reason. It's just like, hey, congratulations, you've hit level 2. We've shuffled a deck of cards with the perks in them.
Yep.
Still has 4 to choose from.
Basically, I hope they're what you wanted. So you actually
have good. They been what you've wanted?
No. Then I remember once I was like, oh, there's a lockpicking perk. Sweet. I'll choose that. Because it shows you the various perks you've got, and then it goes into a menu where you can pick them. And it just wasn't there. So I don't know what happened. I assume I just lost it. But then I could pick locks that were a level higher than I could previously. So maybe I just got it. Who knows?
I'm guessing you have it, but it just doesn't tell you.
I just never got the opportunity to pick it, even though I got the opportunity to pick it with everything else. So, you know, the beauty of any Fallout, or any RPG, really, is that perks are the kind of thing that you can pick and choose for your specific playstyle.
Yeah,
and that's what makes them fun.
Customize it to what you want to do.
You know what? I'm going to be, you know, say in Skyrim, you're like, I'm going to cast magic and I'm going to focus on destruction magic, but I'm also going to be heavily armored. So I'm going to focus on all my armor perks. Or in Fallout, you're like New Vegas, say, you're like, oh, I'm going to focus on just shotguns and being able to survive being irradiated. That's kind of what I'm going for.
I'm
going
to be a radiated shotgun.
You know,
radiated shotgun ninja. Yeah.
Radioactive shotgun ninja, best build. And you're like,
sounds powerful.
And that's what's fun, because you can choose that and it changes your playstyle every time. Fallout 76 is like, good luck. You're just getting at random, so your character build is basically just whatever you're stuck with. Currently, I'm very good at attacking people with a fire axe.
Yes.
Yes.
And I can eat as much irradiated water as I want.
That's great.
Both of those seem like they very much suit your playstyle.
Well, I've just been very lucky.
Or, alternatively, and this... Look, I'm putting a lot of faith into a game that, by all accounts, is barely functioning. Or... it does pay attention to your playstyle, and the perks you're unlocking mimic things that you've done.
We see you get 5 perks every, like, second, maybe, or third level. I'm not quite sure.
5 to pick from, or literally 5? Like
5 to pick from.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, that is
so
ridiculous.
I've just picked the best ones.
The good ones.
Yeah, the good ones.
Let me drink all the bad water.
But I could also be a man who gets extra health from eating dog food and is very good at punching people. Also a build that quite suits me. But this is not the norm. There are very few people out there who are like, I want to punch ghouls and eat dog food. So I'm just very lucky.
Well, I heard a story, and this is 100% alleged, because it's literally a secondhand story that was told to me that was based on, I think, a YouTube video or maybe an article, that there's a glitch. A man found a glitch in Fallout 76 that made him invincible. Mm. He can't die. Bethesda doesn't know how to fix it, so they've just been to him like, don't tell anyone how you did that.
Well, it's good that he didn't tell everyone.
Well, I don't think he said...
I think he also...
I just didn't tell everyone how he did
it. Yeah, he hates it, because it's just like, I can't play the game.
Oh, yeah, because the only good, the moments of... You know, I'll get to the moments of pleasure I get in this game towards the end.
Yeah, this compliment
sandwich. There's
still
more to go through, so... Enemies somehow hit me from miles away, but with melee weapons.
All right, so is this a pro or con?
This is a con.
Okay, I walked
into a super mutant encampment. I was like, pull out my gun. It didn't. And
okay,
then,
look. There's a lot of negative in this game.
All right, Jack. I'll get to my positive.
Now, can we do like a bit of a compliment sandwich?
Okay.
Or maybe, so we want something positive.
Yes.
And then all the negatives, and then another positive.
All right, let's get something positive.
So let's just one. We really need 2 positives. So, you're starting the end. So what's the positive?
The moments of pleasure I get from this game are when I'm fighting enemies, because they're not that hard to kill.
Yeah. Okay. Right, and then,
and it's a bit satisfying to say with a shotgun that you've crafted yourself to shoot a super mutant in the chest and watch him die. And obviously I play really poorly, so I have like always very little health.
Yeah.
And so it's a bit fun to be a little bit on edge. Obviously that is negated a little bit by the fact that I don't know why I'm doing it, because there's nothing good that they have and nothing's telling me to do it. But that can be a little bit fun.
All right, and now the constructive criticisms.
Okay, so yes, enemies hit me from miles away with hammers, and I don't know how. Once a super mutant slammed the ground about 4 meters away from me, and I died, and then as I was dying, 3 more super mutants spawned directly in front of me, one of which was on fire.
Wait, is this still bad stuff? Because that sounds good.
There's heaps of enemies, which is kind of cool. Yeah. It's a bit of a compliment.
Yeah.
Way more enemies than you would normally get in a regular Fallout game. Some really interesting design choices.
Yep.
But they kill you in one hit 99% of the time, so I just avoid them. So I just mostly hang out with Scorched and Ghouls. But it's kind of cool. And event missions are confusing, and I don't know how to do them. I was at a place, they were like, hey, fix this. Like, there was like, fix the terminals at this particular base. Okay. So I walked around and fixed them, and there was a little bar that said fix terminals, and it just wasn't going up, and I just don't know why. And I died a million times there, and I still don't. And then the event failed, and I was like, well, and I think I stopped playing at that point, because far out. Also, the textures glitch out all the time. And I've been kicked several times as well, and also once the PlayStation turned off.
And one last good thing?
One last good thing. Surely there's one last good thing.
I remember you were saying something about the VAT system.
Yes, that's true. I really like... Thanks for reminding me. I quite like... So obviously, VATs in Fallout, or any of the Fallouts, is a thing where your screen freezes or goes into super slow motion, and you can pick out points on an enemy's body where you'd like to attack them. Mm-hmm. And then you click it a couple times, and you'll shoot several times. You know, it's kind of, it's almost like a bit like Deadeye in a Red Dead game, or...
Bullet time, exactly. The Matrix.
But obviously that's hard to do in a multiplayer game because you can't freeze time for everyone. That would just be annoying. You'd just or be playing the game and all of a sudden, and you'd be like, well, someone's shooting something.
I'm honestly shocked that doesn't happen based on everything else you've said.
Well, the game stops sometimes, but I don't think that's why. But the way it basically works is that it's almost just like an aimbot now. So you use VATs, you target someone, and kind of no matter where you shoot, you're going to hit them. And that's kind of nice. That is a nice, happy median.
A compromise. A good compromise.
Exactly, between VATs and no VATs. And I think that's actually maybe the best thing about the game. One final gripe, unfortunately, that I just remembered.
A little bit. So here's your compliment sandwich. And now, oh, look, a bit of fell out. A bit of filling fell on the side of the plate. And I was going to tuck that in.
As I handed it to you, I sneezed. A lot of the costume assets are the same costume assets from Fallout 4. I have maybe 20 different costume assets, and 3 of them are unique.
Cool.
To Fallout 76. So
brand new full-priced game. You're holding a piece of paper and looking at it and making a face, which is not
I'm trying to think of a thumb score that isn't no thumbs. Because I feel like that's just...
One thumb down?
Yeah.
One thumb pointed down.
But obviously I don't want to give it a full thumbs. Oh, it's a knuckle pointed down. Well, so make your hand like an ape's hand and do a thumbs down.
Well, the lowest score that we've given in thumb cramps so far is Donkey Kong 64, which you gave one knuckle to.
This game reminds me a bit of Donkey Kong 64. But you know what? One knuckle. It's got that same janky, nobody paid attention to this game feel.
One knuckle pointed down.
Yeah, one downward pointed knuckle for Fallout 76.
Well, that was a positive note.
Yeah. And what have you been playing?
But before we get to that, here's a quick word from our sponsor. Maybe.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, we're looking at doing a consistent thumb cramp stream every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern Australian Time. So head to our channel over at twitch.tv/sanspansradio to watch us play some video games. Now, Dusha, what have you been playing?
So I've been playing Moonlighter for the Nintendo Switch. It's an indie game. It's a roguelike RPG and I guess shop simulator, which was a surprise
when
I bought it.
Cool mix.
Yeah, it's super, super fun. It basically looks like a 2D Zelda game, to be honest. Basically, the whole premise of the game is you're in charge of a shop in a town,
cool,
but you want to be a warrior. There is 5 dungeons that have been sealed off to the town, and adventurers are like, every time we go into these dungeons, they look different and they kill us. So your character's like, I want to be an adventurer. I'm going to burst into the first dungeon with my broom.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to attack some enemies, and collect items, sell them at my shop, use that money, buy new weapons, get further in dungeons, stuff
oh,
like that.
Oh, that's a great concept.
Yeah, big that's good fan. Ass.
It is a great concept. The game, and this is the first time I've played something on the Switch that has made me kind of feel this way. It's a bit rough around the edges. There's been a few times where glitches have ended the gameplay for me. Really? I've gone through walls and not been able to get back out. I've got stuck in treasure chests.
Mm.
It's only happened probably like 3 or 4 times, and I've played it for 6 or 7 hours. But it's enough that I'm a bit on edge. And I'm only up to the second dungeon. So the way you progress through the dungeons, you have to kill the boss. That unlocks the next dungeon, etc. I'm up to the second dungeon, and the game in some of the second dungeon things slows down a bit already. Oh. So I'm kind of...
Do you mean like as in like it gets like...
like the Switch heats up?
Like the frame rate drops?
Yeah, the frame rate drops because there's too many characters screen, which is not ideal considering I'm pretty early in the game. The shop simulator stuff is also... It's good, but weird. Like pretty much the way that it works is... Every item you get, you can sell in your shop.
That's right.
And you get to choose the pricing.
Oh, it's so good.
When you open your shop, characters come in. They react to the prices. You use that as like an idea of how much you should be selling stuff for.
Cool.
There is demand and stuff like that. So occasionally, when you open your shop, someone will come in. They'll see an item and you'll get like an arrow go up. And they'll be like, oh, the demand is high. So then you can increase the price a little bit.
Hells yeah. Capitalism. Big fan.
It's fun, but repetitive.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't seem like it's super deep.
No. So basically... The boss for the first dungeon was fun. I killed him pretty easily, though, but it was, like, a cool design. The dungeons look similar, but they're obviously randomly generated, but the actual layout and stuff like that is pretty similar. It's, like, the same as, like, a Link to the Past or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
The enemies aren't super different from each other. Like, as in, like, there's a slime in the first one, but then, like, an acid slime in the second one.
Yeah, there is
some unique stuff, and it's cool. Like I said, I've played like 6 or 7 hours of it. It's very, very, very addictive and very easy to pick up and play.
What's the sort of story thing when you die, like when you come back? Like,
the dungeon spits you out. They kind of do like a weird hand wavy thing. It's basically, so what you can do, there's a few different ways. You can, if you die in the dungeon, you lose all of your items and the dungeon spits you back out. There is an item that you get very early on that lets you teleport out of the dungeon for a price. You get to keep all of your items, but you obviously can't go back into the point where you left. Then there's another item, which is just a door that takes you from where you were in the dungeon to the town, so you can sell all the stuff you've collected, then go back to where you left off. So it's an easy way.
Is the aim to do all 4 dungeons, or all 5 dungeons, sorry?
So the aim is that each of the first it's 4 dungeons,
and
you get a key in each of them, which unlocks the 5th dungeon, which no one has ever been into.
And is that when you finish the 5th dungeon, you finish the game?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
There's a lot of items. Like, I'm constantly getting stuff where I'm like, I've never seen this before. How am I meant to sell this in my shop? I don't even know what I'm holding.
Is that the kind of thing where you're like, you get an item in the dungeon and you're like, do I keep this or do I sell this?
So, I'm noticing this in the second dungeon already, which is you've got 20 slots in your backpack. And if that fills up, then you can't pick anything else up. You can sell stuff on the fly, but at a very discounted rate.
Okay.
Like something like, it's not a specific rate, but it's anywhere between like 20 and 30% of value you can sell in your shop. Yeah.
Mm.
So you can do that with like some of the cheaper stuff, but occasionally, like in the second dungeon, for instance, I'm finding stuff that's worth, every common item is worth more than it is in the first dungeon. So my brain is like, no, but think about how much money you can sell this for. Which is dumb.
Can you huck the items in a lake if you don't want them? Like,
you can drop them on the floor.
Perfect.
I guess that's good.
It's close to a lake. You can drop them off a cliff.
That's good.
The controls are fun. All of, like, there's a few different types of weapons. Yeah. So there's, like, sword, shield, big sword, spear, bow and arrow, stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of different ways you can play. You can have 2 weapons equipped at the same time, so you can switch between them. So that's fun. It's just one of those things where it feels like that it's a really good game. The idea for an indie game, like, it's not super, super deep, but there's enough there to keep you playing. But it's just missing some of the polish.
Mm. Okay.
And that is making me concerned about putting more time into it because I'm like, if these things are happening now...
I would be so nervous. If the frame rate in the second dungeon is bad, surely it's just going to get worse.
Well, that's the thing. And I know that the Nintendo Switch has had problems with some of the ports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That happening.
Did Moonlighter start as a PC game?
I'm not actually sure.
Okay.
Because I know, is it Rhyme, I want to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which looked like such a fun game to play. Yeah, it's so and pretty and play cool. It. But apparently when the, yeah, I experienced this when it came to the Switch port, the handheld version, just the frame rates dropped. Whereas if you played it on like a TV, it was fine.
Yeah, well, I tried playing this on a TV, and like I still noticed it a little bit. It's not like a huge, huge...
It's not a game killer, but you're like,
Yeah, it's just more just like, it's more that I'm just concerned about
how bad it might get.
How bad it's going to get, because another game that I really, 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 really liked has this problem so bad that it sometimes crashes, which is Mr. Shifty, another game on the Switch, where the last level, there's some stuff that's, there's so much stuff happening that occasionally if you're playing a handheld thing, the frame rate will drop so much that the game just dies. Shuts. Mm-hmm. Which is not good for a home console.
Yeah.
No.
That's normal.
But yeah, look, Moonlighter is 37 Australian dollars, which is not super cheap, especially for an indie game. That's like kind of a weird mid-tier pricing. And it is very fun, and I've kind of lent heavily into the negatives that I have. But I think that price point is the thing that's kind of pushing me towards it. Because something like Child of Light, which I spoke about in detail, was much cheaper and far more polished, but is an older game. Look, I'm having fun with it, having a good time. I'm just a little concerned about some of the cracks that are starting to show this early on.
I really like the because it's such a classic thing in an RPG where you're selling your items to make more money to buy more items. I think that's such a neat way to incorporate that into the game.
It's
kind of a really new and cool idea. But
from the sound, I love that little concept you've got. That is sort of there, but from the sounds of it, it almost sounds disappointing. Like, I kind of almost, from what you're saying, I almost want more of the shopkeeping aspect.
The shopkeeping stuff gets... Because it's literally all that happens is you put stuff on a table, you set the pricing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I know.
I want more in-depth that.
Yeah. You want it to be like a literally 50-50 split between being a shop-running simulator and a dungeon crawler, not a dungeon crawler where the way you make more money is by a little shop-running minigame.
Because I liked
imagine
that.
Imagine having locals. Imagine having like the same person coming in and in, always kind of, this, and getting to know them
that
all.
There's character types that do that.
Okay.
So like there's people that only buy weapons. There's people that, or people that will pay more for weapons, people that will pay more for like potions and stuff like that. So you get,
like, imagine a Cheers situation, but in an RPG.
You want a Cheers adaptation video game adaptation.
Yes, with some dungeon mastering.
Look, it's good. And to be honest, like, I'm going to give it a pretty high thumb score. It's just that I wish I knew these things going into play it, but I would also recommend people playing it. But maybe wait until it's on sale, because $37.50 Australian, you can probably get a better game. So I'm going to give it probably three thumbs.
Okay.
Maybe it's three thumbs pushing, three thumbs and a knuckle.
Okay.
All right. Okay, well, look. So this week, look, I didn't have a lot of time on my hands. I had a few little social events I had to go to.
Oh, you've got friends. We get it.
Cool. Okay.
Mr. I have a video game podcast, but also people still talk to me.
So, look, rather than go through the the Switch library or the PS4 or whatever I've got, I'm going to give a bit of a review on something. It's a 1998 classic game, but for the tabletop.
Oh. For that fourth video game console, the table.
You got the Nintendo Switch, the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, the Xbox One X.
And the table.
Yes, and so the game that we played is called Guillotine by Wizards of the Coast from Dungeons & Dragons publishing fame. So the game is called Guillotine. It's set during the
French thing?
The French Revolution.
Yes,
French thing.
You know that French thing that happened?
They love the guillotines in that French thing. I knew what was going on.
It's a very simple and really interesting board game or card game is that it revolves around 3 days.
Yep.
And so you put out 12 nobles or 12 people that are going to be sent to the guillotine. And you've got some action cards in your hand. You start off with, I think, 5.
Yep.
And when it comes to your turn, you can sort of be like, oh, yes, the noble trips. So they go 3 spaces down. And at the end of your turn, you collect the head of the noble who was in front. And each noble or each person is worth more points than others.
Cool.
So Maria Antoinette is worth, say, 5.
Yeah.
Whereas a captain of the guard, only 2.
It's cool that you're playing a board game where you can have Mary Antoinette's head.
Yes.
Like...
Yes.
There's just very few games in general give you that possibility.
And there's certain things, like if you, unfortunately, it's up to your turn, and there's the hero of the people is there. He's worth a -3. So then you've got negative points. And you can get some martyrs, and they're also worth
so is it like you've got your 12 cards, and on your turn, you're like, you decide things that happen to the cards so that various people get shuffled around?
Yeah.
That's how it kind of works? And then... whoever's at the end gets it. That's really cool, yeah.
And then after the end, you know, so when those 12 people are all being executed, then the day ends and you start afresh. because, boy, do the revolutions love some beheadings. And that works, you know, for 3 days. And, of course, at the end, you tally up your scores and you see who won. And it's, a lot of fun. Would play it again. Now, it does say this game is for 2 to 5 players.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we played with a hot 7.
Okay.
So, look. Not ideal.
Yeah.
By the time that it gets back to your turn, basically the day is already gone and done. And there are almost game ruining cards. There's like the Robespierre card. If he gets beheaded, then that's the end of the day. He's the last person. So if the person he's up front, that's a whole day gone.
Wow. That's kind of cool though.
Kinda cool, but you can be like, well, I see that day is gone and my turn is. Not even relevant.
I'm kind of into it. Mm.
This is on you for having too many friends.
This is on me, yes. I 100% agree. So this game, a lot of fun, would recommend, but I would recommend playing it with the recommended playing people.
Yeah, fair. So,
it's cool to play games. Sometimes it's cool to follow the rules, kids. Stay in school. Quit those cigarettes and listen to your mama.
And also, because I am an uneducated swine and don't know much about the French Revolution. Or
the French thing.
Doucher clearly knows less, so you're good, dude.
Or the many, many French revolutions. It was a lot of fun playing it with people who were far smarter than I, who knew a lot about the French Revolution.
Like, oh no, you beheaded Marie Antoinette. You're like, who?
Yes, like I found out that Marie Antoinette, oh my God, yes, please. Oh, I'm in love with this woman. So
let them eat cake.
Yes.
See, I know things.
You know the quote.
So apparently, someone was playing.
Did she, though?
They were telling me that. So the best thing that she would do, or one of the most amazing things she did, was that she wanted to know how the peasantry lived. So she got people to construct a peasant like town or a peasant like thing, whatever, in the castle. So that she could go and pretend to live amongst the peasantries. So it's just like, oh yes, here's a peasant-like structure, but look, a wonky leg or a wonky wall. And then there was, of course, a tower constructed in Peasantville where she lived.
That's incredible. So she was like, she's like, I want to live like a peasant, but I would like to live like a good peasant.
So again, look,
mocking the poor. That's cool.
My level of history and knowledge is quite low. So if this is also wrong. Blame my retelling.
Don't at me.
Yeah. but it was a lot of fun listening to other people who knew a lot more about that talk about the French Revolution, because it's such a fun and interesting topic that I know nothing about.
It's great that it's fun, but also you learn something.
Exactly. But that is, you know, with a caveat of you need to have people who know about that. So
you're going to be like, because you weren't sure if it was true, like with a caveat that maybe I didn't.
Also that true.
Possibly, maybe you learn lies.
I mean, I didn't.
You learn stuff, but it could be wrong.
So yes, a very fun game, and it's like about 30 minutes maybe to complete.
Oh, that's good.
That's quick.
Really good for a board game.
Easy
yeah.
to set up, so you can kind of have a couple of different rounds of this. So as board games go,
does it get repetitive?
I would say probably yeah.
Yeah, like eventually.
It's a 30-minute game.
I'm just thinking it's the kind of game that could get a bit repetitive.
Yeah, like if you're having like a regular, like either a weekly or a fortnightly board game night, it's a game you might want to crack out at the start, get people in the mood, sort of be playing some board games, and maybe play one round.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, maybe pushing it, maybe a second, but anything after that, I'd probably say like, look, move on to something else. Yeah. Play something else. So it's
load up the YouTube. Let's really wreck this party.
So,
what's a funny thing you remember from the internet? Make everyone watch it.
Oh, yeah. This is so funny. And then look at the other person and see if they laugh.
I've been at a party recently. See, I also have friends. Even though, yeah, so Jackson.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't seen another human soul except for this.
Not even in Fallout.
Not even in Fallout. It's so quiet in there.
Yes. Yeah, I was at a party where they acknowledged, they're like, hey, I want to show you a video. We're not going down a YouTube hole, though, because that wrecks parties. Four videos in, no one was talking to each other, and we were down a YouTube hole, and it wrecked the party.
You can't avoid it. Just don't do it.
Yeah. Just don't do it. Now everyone's like, oh, there's a funny, like, a YouTube thing that I want to watch.
No!
Like, no, just message me it.
Tag me in it.
I will watch it later. Don't tag me. I don't want the public to know. Just message me.
Someone's like, hey, I got a YouTube video that I want to show you. I'm like, look. Don't show it to me, but describe it. And then when they finish describing it, say, shut up.
Perfect. So all in all, Guillotine, the game, the 1998 tabletop game, four thumbs up.
Four thumbs.
That's pretty good.
That's huge. Oh, just a quick recap, because we've only spoken about two video games this week, I might just throw in a third.
Sure.
Dusha.
Games are games.
Games are games, the fourth console, tabletop.
So I just want to touch on... just a revision of my review from last week.
Yes,
sure.
Yes.
So I have finished Spyro 2.
Okay.
And I am like 20% of completion of Spyro 3. Just like to change my thumb score once again. There is an Easter egg in Spyro 2 where a skeleton flosses.
Oh, no.
It's going up.
Yeah, baby.
3.5 thumbs. But Spyro 3 falls into the same trap as Donkey Kong where there is way too much stuff going on. Also, it is insanely hypersexualized. They keep building it up throughout the games, and then in Spyro 3, everyone's like, hey, Spyro, you're handsome.
Maybe at the end, they'll just
So, yeah, that's back down to three thumbs. and there's skateboarding stuff, which the mechanics are garbage.
Yeah, that's a shame.
So three thumbs for Spyro, which is where it started, but it has changed. And yeah, it's a revised three.
It's good. Yeah, it's a three with a little wiser, a little more knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. And look, check it next week when I've probably finished it, and I'll let you know how it is then.
Let you know if it's remained at three.
Yeah.
All right. So all in all, this episode, what, seven thumbs and a knuckle.
So yeah. It was a knuckle for Fallout.
Yep.
Three thumbs for Moonlighter and four thumbs for Guillotine.
Mm-hmm.
That's seven thumbs and a one knuckle.
I wish Fallout 76 was more than a one knuckler. But...
a one knuckler pointing down.
Yeah, a negative one knuckler.
you just wish it was a game that worked.
I just wish it was an actual video game and not whatever the hell I've been playing.
It feels like maybe it might be a good game in 6 months.
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe.
My final addendum is that I have played it by myself, not with friends. Maybe the moment I play it with a friend, I'll have a different opinion. So watch this space, because I'm sure if it's good, I'll talk about it.
It's made me want to play Fallout 4, a game I've owned since it came out and have never played.
It's not as good as Fallout New Vegas, but it's still fun.
Cool. Well, on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Joel. See you next time, thumbos.
The thumbs from Spy Kids.
Yeah,
hey, that's much better than thumbos.
Thumb warriors, although, whatever they're called.
What do we think about thumbos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email us.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.